It has become, and has been for eons, a universal Jewish custom to say the Shema twice a day. First thing in the morning and last thing in the evening, before we go to bed. Practically speaking, if you'd like to try this, please choose a place with minimal distractions. It's got to be a place where you can sit in quiet meditation for a few minutes. First, we prepare by shutting off the phone, shutting off the sounds, the music, whatever may be distracting us. Now, if it's in the morning, so we sit down. The custom is to say the Shema sitting down. Sit in a meditative posture, which is upright with the shoulders down. And if it's in the morning, begin, before saying the Shema, to focus for a few moments on the fact that it's morning. It's a new day. The night has ended, and now it's day. The light has come back. If it's in the evening, after dark, then focus for a moment on the fact that it's evening. The day has ended. The sun has set. Stars are coming out. That's the mental preparation before saying the six words of the Shema. Next, cover the eyes with your right hand. This is the custom. Why? Well, try closing your eyes. By the way, don't do this while you're driving, please. But cover your eyes with the right hand, and you'll see that when they're covered with the hand, it gets even darker than it was before they were covered, when the eyes are simply closed. What does this do? It shuts out even more light, shuts out more of my visual input, and helps me focus even more on the hearing, emphasizing that hearing aspect of the Shema. Wisdom, say the mystics, comes through the ears, not through the eyes. Then, while keeping the eyes covered, say the Shema, the six words of the Shema. Say them slowly, and say them with kavana, with that focus and attention on every word. The goal is to say all six words as a unit with focus and attention and kavana, so that if a person gets to the last word, echad, and realizes, you know, I didn't really say Yisrael properly, I was thinking about China or something, or something else other than Yisrael, then a person should properly go back and say the six words again. I would hope you could get it in the first try, but if necessary, go back and say it again as many times, theoretically, until you get it right once. Get all six words as a unit, and then you're done. That in itself is the essence of the Shema. And when you say that properly, when you finish the word echad, you should feel a sense of total connectedness, a total transcendence, a total realization of that oneness. And that leads us into the second level of the Shema, which is being that the Shema is a meditation on oneness, and that oneness is synonymous with love. The Shema can also be understood not only as a meditation on unity, but a meditation on love. In fact, the custom is not only to focus on the morning or evening, as I suggested prior to saying the Shema, but also right before you say the Shema, add the following. Again, focus on the fact that it's morning or the fact that it's evening. And then take a moment to focus on the idea of an infinite creator, an infinite source that created you and this world around you and your experiences in life only with a desire to give to you. The ultimate giving. Remember, giving is the root of the word love. And then, after saying the word echad in the Shema, that last word, and feeling that sense of oneness, that should lead us to then focusing on the love we should feel in return to that infinite source. If we're really feeling oneness, then we should be really feeling that emotional closeness. And indeed, that's what it says in the Torah, as it says in our books we use in the synagogues. Right after saying the Shema, the next word is v'yahavta, and you will love. Love what? Love who? V'yahavta es Adonai. You will love the infinite. It's a natural consequence of really meditating on that unity. By the way, the word is often pronounced by people viahavta, and viahavta versus viahavta, you notice the difference in the syllables? The beginning of the word, the end of the word? If you say viahavta, more like we pronounce English, it means past tense. You loved, like it's over, done. To convey the meaning of the future tense, it is properly pronounced viahavta, and you will love. Now, when I feel that sense of tremendous transcendence and unity, it can feel really good. It can feel really powerful, awesome. And that's risky because, remember, we're finite, right? You're finite. You got a finite brain. You're a person. You're not God. It's impossible for us to really fully transcend. This is a problem that's raised by the commentaries in the Torah. The Torah describes the ultimate goal of life as devekut or devekus. It comes from the Hebrew word devek, which means glue. Somehow, devekus to the infinite, gluing or sticking or clinging oneself to the infinite. And the great commentary there, Rashi, on that phrase says, how is that possible? How is it possible for a person really to do that? It's a good question. And that's what we should feel at the end of the Shema. I mean, we do feel really close. We feel that devekus, and we have to remind ourselves, you know what? We're not quite there yet. We're not quite there. Come down a little bit. And the custom is to insert in a whisper a phrase, and it's here in the Art of Amazement Handbook, Chapter 6, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso L'Olam Vo'ed. And that phrase, one of the hardest to translate in all of Hebrew liturgy, but one basic understanding of it is it means, you know, it's beyond me. As much as I feel close to that, these ideas, as much as I've internalized them and got real with them and I love them and I preach to them and I want them, and it's still beyond me. Come down just a little bit.